We've been talking over the last few weeks about what it would take, the things that we need to change, the things we need to do to make the holidays special. We've talked about anger, we've talked about Thanksgiving, we've talked about worship, we've talked about depression, but this morning I really want to get down to the heart of the matter. If we're going to make the holidays special, if we're going to make them what they ought to be, we've got to consider Christ. We've got to figure out where Christ fits in to this season in our celebration, in our life. We've got to figure out where Christ comes into play. Not just in the season. It's not just enough to stand up before you tear into the presence and say, okay, I'm going to read the Christmas story. It's not just, it's not enough just to say the blessing before you devour your Christmas lunch. But where does Christ fit in your life personally? And I don't think there's a greater story that demonstrates this this lesson than the story of Joseph. I am, of all the aspects, all the parts of the Christmas story that I am enamored by, just really fascinated by, it is Joseph in this whole story. Now, if I start calling him Joshua like I did at 8:30 this morning, y'all just ignore me. I'm getting old. I'm talking about Joseph. Joshua doesn't have any part in this story. So now I've said that, and I'll probably jinx myself. But you know, Joseph just his role, his place in this story just fascinates me. It's because we know so little about him. We don't have much knowledge about him and how he reacted. We can only really speculate how Joseph dealt with this news. Now, it's an interesting story. We've already had the announcement to Mary in the story. And then you come up and Joseph now, Mary has some way, somehow, communicated with Joseph that she's pregnant. Now, in all likelihood, in my thinking, now, I can't prove this, but my best guess is that in all likelihood, this was sometime after Mary had went and spent 3 months with Elizabeth. And so, by now, in all likelihood, she's beginning to show just a little bit, and it's beginning to get harder to conceal. And Mary comes back and gets the news to Joseph. Now, granted, in our society today, that wouldn't be too big a story. It wouldn't be too upsetting. But things were way different in those times. Things were hugely different. When you look at the story, it says that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Now, let's be honest. How many of you, if you weren't used to reading the Christmas story, have ever said the word betrothed? That's what I thought. You know, we just don't use it. We don't even know what it means. Betrothed, in all honesty, we think of engaged, but very honestly, in that time, betrothed was much more like marriage today. It was a binding agreement. They had set aside, and these two had, in all likelihood, been brought together by their parents, and an agreement had been made that at a given time they would be married. And what would happen would be that they would take and they would make this agreement. Many times, as you might be aware, a dowry would be paid. Some transfer of animals, money, something would take place between the groom's family and the bride's family. And they didn't immediately get married. Again, there would be an agreement that was made. And for about the next year, the bride-to-be would continue to live with her parents. And several things were happening at that time. One thing would be that then the groom would go back and begin to prepare their home, where they were going to live as husband and wife. He would begin to get those arrangements made. But the other thing that this this period was for, this waiting period was for, it was a trial, and some of you today, you may not like this in our society. In all honesty, in many ways, it was a trial period. It was a test of the bride's faithfulness and fidelity. It was a period to see if she would be true and faithful to her husband. And so obviously, if she was to come up pregnant during this time of betrothal, she had been unfaithful to her betrothed. And so then the other repercussions would come from that. And so it was a test. And at the end of that year, had the woman everything worked out, everything been as it should, then the man would come with great procession, with a great crowd. He would come and he would claim his bride. They would go off and begin their life then together. Now, again, that year period was a time of proving for the wife. And we know in this story that if you just read the story, the first thing Joseph thinks is Mary's failed the test. Mary's failed the test. I know that I'm not the father, but she is admitting that she is pregnant. She's admitting that she has she's carrying a child. Now, let's be honest. Let's take this story and let's think about, if you can. This is why it's so amazing to me. Put yourself in Joseph's shoes for one moment. She doesn't just come and say, "Joseph, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I'm pregnant." Mary comes to Joseph and says, "Joseph, you may not believe this." You know, put yourself in Joseph's sandals for a minute. "You may not believe this, but I've not been with another man. An angel came and told me I was going to conceive a child of the Holy Spirit." How many of you buying that story? I can just hear Joseph now thinking, she's not just unfaithful, she's not just pregnant, she is crazy with a capital C. She is the biggest liar to ever draw a breath. And so Joseph here is confronted with that, and he has to make some considerations. And this is where I come this morning to you and I considering Christ. Here Joseph is, and he has to begin to consider what he's going to do with what Mary says is the Christ child. What Mary says is a child that was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joseph has to decide, what am I going to do? Now, what we find from that is the very same thing that you have to do this morning as you consider Christ. There are several options that you can do, that you can choose as you consider Christ. Some of them are what we might call convention. There was a conventional train of thought that Joseph could follow in this situation. The Bible says here that he was, as Joseph found this out, before they came together, found out that she was with a child of the Holy Ghost, she says. Then Joseph, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Joseph has two options he's considering. Now, here is somewhat the way the law worked at that time. A brief summary of what they have told us again. In that time, the sin of adultery and this would have been considered adultery, even though they weren't married. I'll tell you how serious betrothal was at that time. If the groom died during the time they were betrothed, the woman was still considered a widow. Even though there hadn't actually been a marriage, they'd never lived together, this was a serious time. In some cultures, they would cut off the nose of the woman if she was found to be an adulterer. There were numerous punishments. In Jewish culture, they had a much subtler way of dealing with adultery. It was called, pick up all the rocks you can find and throw them at her. That was their method of dealing with adultery. And so Joseph had one choice here. It says he didn't want to make her a public example. In other words, conventional thought would have been, we're going to go, and this was basically the legal path of dealing with this situation. You take your betrothed, you take your fiancé, and you go before the magistrate, the judge, and you explain the situation, you ask for a divorce decree, and you know, then once that divorce decree is given, she is taken out into the street, and she is stoned to death. There is, you know, it is made public. Everyone knows about it. Her family is involved. Everyone knows what's going on. That was the conventional way. That was the public way that it's talking about. But it says here that Joseph also was debating a private way of dealing with it. Now, the law allowed for the idea that because the sin, as they saw it, was only really against Joseph, that it really wasn't a sin against anyone else, that it was Joseph's right to decide how it would be dealt with. And so Joseph could either go before the magistrate and make a public example of Mary, or he could basically say, the marriage is off, go away. He could basically say, it's done, I'm not marrying you, just leave me alone. And make it more or less of a private matter. Now, that was the conventional way of dealing with this situation. And you can only imagine that, and I don't know this, there are no research, no historians that tell us this, but I'm sure like you, I am of the opinion that the majority of these cases did not end in the private manner. I'm almost certain, and again, ladies, don't throw anything at me, I didn't make the rules. Considering the position of women in that culture, and their propensity in the New Testament times for throwing rocks at people, you know, we have quite a few cases of that, you know, that I am almost positive the majority of these cases ended with someone being stoned. That was the conventional way of doing it. Now, I think about that, and as Joseph mulled this over, as he considered it, we see something that I want to point out to you. Joseph was leaning, he was minded to putting her away privately. Joseph was planning on divorce. Joseph was, you know, let's be honest, when this story first starts, Joseph was planning on separating, getting out of this situation. And so he was going to follow conventional wisdom. Probably not the most popular, but certainly normal. Get out of the wedding. Get out of the marriage. Get away from her. She is bad news. Now, we live in a society where conventional wisdom says Jesus was a good man. We live in a society where conventional wisdom says Jesus was a good teacher, a good prophet. We live in a society that says there are a lot of ways to heaven. We live in a society that says it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe it sincerely. That's conventional wisdom in our time. You've got to consider that this morning. As we come up to the celebration of the birth of Christ, I'm asking you this morning, some of you here today, you don't know Christ as your personal Savior. I'm asking you to consider Christ. You can choose conventional wisdom. I would challenge you with this thought, though. I heard a man one time who was not a Christian. He admitted that he was searching. And he said something like this. He said, you know, I haven't found it yet. I'm trying to figure out how to get to heaven. He says, but I hear people say that it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe something, all roads lead to heaven. He says, you know, I haven't found my answer yet. He said, but I don't buy that. He said, because here's what I know. We don't accept that in any other area of life. He said, I don't go down to the airport wanting to fly to Los Angeles and just jump on the first plane that comes there thinking all planes go to Los Angeles. I don't just get on the first bus that comes through town thinking all buses go to Los Angeles. I don't get on the first train that comes through and think all trains go to Los Angeles. He said, well, if I want to go to Los Angeles, I go down and I buy a specific ticket for a specific flight. And so this morning, you've got to consider conventional wisdom. There are some choices out there. I understand that. They're everywhere you look. There are Muslims, there are Buddhists, there are all kinds of people telling you what's right. And here's what I've noticed. You go out in the world and you can tell people whatever you want to. And they'll say, that's good, as long as you believe it. You tell them you believe in Christ, they get all tied up. You can go out, you can make up your own religion. You can tell them, I believe if you eat that poinsettia, you'll go to heaven. And somebody will say, if you believe that sincerely. But if you tell them I believe in Jesus Christ, that goes against conventional wisdom. If you tell them Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man goes to the Father but through Him, then people get upset. So you have an option this morning. If you're sitting there this morning and you're wondering about your future, you're wondering about your eternity, I agree. You have some conventional wisdom. You have some choices just like Joseph had. Here's what I noticed though. There wasn't just conventional wisdom. There is also intervention. I love when the Bible says, but God. Anytime you have that phrase, things get interesting. Now, I realize this phrase doesn't say, but God specifically, but that's what it means. But God, while Joseph was pondering, Joseph was considering his two options, God comes along and says, wait a minute, Joseph, you have a third option. You have a third choice. I know what conventional wisdom is. Listen, you have to understand something. God gave them conventional wisdom. God was the one who gave them the law on how to deal with adulterers. God knew what conventional wisdom was, but He comes along in this situation and says, but Joseph, but God intervenes. And says, Joseph, hear me. The child that your fiance is carrying is Jesus, the Christ, Emmanuel. Jesus, Savior, Christ, the Anointed, Emmanuel, God with us. Joseph, as he pondered, he says, I know what conventional wisdom is. Conventional wisdom, back to the law, says that we should stone her on the street. We should be rid of this woman as an adulterer. I should be free from her. But God says, Joseph, hold on a minute. And in this passage, he references back to the prophecy of Isaiah and goes back and talks about the virgin being born. And he says the angel appeared and said, don't fear. For what she conceived is of the Holy Ghost. Listen, Joseph, you need to understand something. This child, as they say in that Mary, did you know, this child that she is carrying, he is Jesus, his earthly name, Savior. He is the Christ, the Anointed One, His heavenly name, the Messiah. He is Emmanuel, His role, God with us. This morning, as you make your consideration this Christmas week, and I've got to thank some of you sitting here this morning, there are too many of you here that I can honestly believe that every person in this building has accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're considering your options. You're considering your choices. And conventional wisdom tells you a lot of things. I want you to know something this morning. God intervenes with unconventional wisdom. God intervenes and says, you know what? I love you so much. Every other religion I know of in the world says this. What can you do for me? Every other religion in the world says you earn your way into heaven. Only God, only Christianity says, you know what? God loves you so much, He would wrap up His Son in the form of a child, in the form of a baby, in the form of an infant, and send Him to this earth to walk among men, to die on a cross, to pay the price for your sins. That's not conventional. That's not conventional. It's unconventional to the max. You can't think of a more strange plan than the one that God came along with. God is intervening. And I believe this morning, God put us here today to allow me to drop into your ears, allow the Holy Spirit to deal with your heart and to intervene with you for just a moment this week to say, what are you going to do with the Christ child? Joseph, what are you going to do? You can stone her. You can put away privately, but let me offer you a third option. You can accept Him. This morning you have some of the similar choices. You can stone Him, you can ignore Him, you can walk away, or you can accept Him. You can accept Him. Let me tell you what Joseph did. If you read this story, the Bible says that Joseph got up and we had convention. We have intervention. Joseph had retention. Joseph gets up from his vision. Look what he does. When he got up, look what he says. He did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. He did what God told him to do. He did what God invited him to do. I want to remind you that God did not say to Joseph, "Joseph, you better marry her. If you don't, I'm going to chop off your ears." He simply said, "Joseph, what she says is true. That child is mine. Now get up and choose. Stone her, put her away, or accept her." This morning I want to challenge you this Christmas season. Stone him. Be done with him. Quit playing around. Go on and be a Buddhist, a Muslim, whatever it is. Stone him, put him away, or accept him. That's your choice. That's your decision this morning. You want to make the holidays everything they should be, you make it about Christ in your life. You make it about Jesus, the Christ, Emmanuel. Jesus, Savior, Christ, Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. God's intervening in your heart this morning. Some of you are sitting here today and you've been in church. Joseph was a good man. Let's be honest. Here's a man who has been wronged by every person who would look at this case. They would say, "Joseph, you have been done wrong, stoner." But yet we see that even in that, Joseph has a flicker, a glimmer of goodness, of mercy, of righteousness, when he says, "You know what? I don't want to stone her. Don't want to marry her, but I just can't bear to see her stoned." Joseph was a good man. I believe that with all my heart. He was just going to put her away privately and be done with it. But then when he heard from heaven, this interesting statement says he did what God had asked him to do. This morning you're sitting here today and your heart is about to beat out of your chest. You've thought about it. You've pondered it. You've considered conventional wisdom. Some of you have looked at other religions. You've looked at other thoughts and said, "I want to go to heaven, but I'm trying to find the way. I'm trying to figure out how to get there." The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by Him. What are you going to do with Christ? Joseph had to make that decision 2,000 years ago. Joseph had to make a decision that most of us would never want to have to be put in his shoes. But let me tell you something this morning. Joseph's choice affected Mary. Your choice affects you for eternity. What will you do with Christ? You're here today and you don't know Him as your Savior. You need to make that decision this morning. You need to come. Let us show you from God's Word. God is trying to intervene in your life. He's trying to step in and say to you, "You know what? You've looked under every rock. You've tried everything. And nothing satisfies your soul. You need Christ." Some of you here today that are Christians, just as Joseph considered Christ and his decision changed his life. I want to ask you a question this morning. You've accepted Christ, but has it changed you? Joseph's life, listen, anybody here that knows that the moment you have a baby, your life is never, ever the same again. Never. Ever. Ever. You know that. I'm not talking about while they're in diapers. I'm talking about never. You think your life was never the same. What about Joseph? Can you just see it? Every time Joseph and Mary and Jesus went walking down the street, there was somebody over in the corner going, "That's that Joseph fella. He's the one that married that pregnant woman. That's not his baby. Y'all knew. Pray for him." Yeah, that's how they done it. Yeah, if there's Baptists, that's what they said. Pray for him. Yeah, if you say pray for him, you can say whatever you want to. Pray for him. You know that's not his baby. Joseph's life was never the same. Christians, is your life the same? If you say, "No," then you need to come and follow on this altar and say, "Lord, I just want to thank you this Christmas season that my life has never been the same. Lord, I know where I'd be. Or worse, I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for you." And I just want to come. Christians, you want to come and say, you know what, this week I want people to see something in me as I gather with my family, my coworkers. I want them to see that I have considered Christ and my life will never be the same. But most important, you don't know Christ. What are you going to do with Him? You got to make a decision this morning. God is trying to intervene in your world. He's trying to intervene in your life. He's trying to intervene in your eternity. And ask you that question. What will you do with Jesus, the Christ, Emmanuel? I want to ask you to bow your heads as our musicians come. All over this building, God's touching your heart. God's stirring Christians to say, you know what? I want to thank Him for making me different, for changing my life. Christians ought to fill up this altar this morning and say, Lord, I just want to thank You for changing me, for giving me a new future, a new eternity, a new family. Some of you may need to come and say, I want to thank You, Lord, for giving me a whole new husband, a new wife, when You saved them. Some of you need to come and say, Lord, make sure others can see that I'm different because of You. Most important, you're here today and you don't know Christ. He's trying to intervene. He's trying to speak to you. Don't leave here today till you've decided something about Jesus.